I mean, the Robbie Gould move after watching yesterday's game, how can you argue it? I mean, he was a fan favorite, but the guy's done.
Sean has always told me, Andy, that's the problem here in Chicago. We get hooked on players.
It's the future. Down and distance. It's on WGNRadio.com.
What's going on, everybody? Welcome into Down and Distance. Jared Payton alongside my man Sean Davis, SD, two mics on Twitter. I'm at Payton Sun, PaytonSun on Twitter. We have a special guest in studio with us today, my man, who was actually with me last night on Sports Feed on CLTV, my man Andy Mazur. Got a chance to sit down with him as he was walking through the hallways. I grabbed him and I was like, yo, we got to talk Bears football because the people want to talk about Bears. So let's talk about Bears. Yesterday, the Bears went to the East Coast, lost to the Giants 22-16. Not as bad as I thought it was going to be, because if you looked at my predictions, I didn't have them scoring 16 points anywhere close. So, but to see how the Bears actually came out and fought a little bit yesterday till the end showed me something from the previous week going up against Tampa Bay and the Bucks. Just an eerie feeling like coming into this game, not knowing what to expect. But this team is just what I thought they would end up being if injuries happened. And I think that's probably the key issue that I have, is that this season's about what ifs. To me, it's about what ifs. It's like, what if, you know, Pernell McPhee was healthy from the beginning of the season? Does that change the dynamics of Leonard Floyd? What if the Bears offensive line, which was kind of still not super great, the interior to me was pretty good. The outside of the tackle position to me was a little suspect. But what happens if they could have stayed together from the beginning of the season and not had the injuries and the revolving door of guys having to come in? What would that be like? What if Adam Gase was still here? You know, like that. I think about that as well. Like, what if? Because Jay Cutler from last year wasn't the lightning rod, right? He wasn't the lightning rod. People were like, okay, this guy might be serviceable, cut down on the turnovers. This year had his issues at the second game of the season, you know, with the thumb and then coming back. And it's been like the old Jay Cutler again, man. And it's so tough to wrap my head around because I don't know what the future of this team is. I have no clue. Like, I've been searching for the identity, and only thing that I can kind of come up with, Andy, is the defense, and that front seven seems like that could be something to kind of build on. But how long are guys going to be here for? How long can you keep these guys? Does injuries creep in and that kind of derails maybe what we've started to see? I don't know what the future of this team is. And I think that's what's so disheartening as a Bears fan, is I don't know.
Yeah.
I have no clue.
You know, there's so many questions. And the one thing I've learned over the years, and you can speak to this probably better than me, is the fact that football, unlike any other sport, injuries affect football more so, I think, than they do in baseball and basketball and hockey or anything in that respect. Because it all kind of hinges on each other. And you're saying, you know, you go through the depth charts. These are guys that don't get reps in practice. So you don't really have the opportunity to work with a guy like Mike Adams during a regular practice session. That's where all the pressure was coming from yesterday on Jay Cutler. The fact of the matter is he doesn't have Alshon Jeffrey through no fault of his own. And, you know, you lose your number one receiver during this game, Zach Miller. What are you left with? I mean, you don't really know the personnel that you're dealing with. So the injuries are one thing. You never use them as an excuse. But I will agree with you. I don't have any clue what this team is. You know, at least with Lovie, you knew they were going to try to run the ball when they got off the bus.
Yeah.
You know, they may not have done it successfully.
Or you knew that they were going to play, you know, defense.
Yeah.
You knew that they were going to come out and play some defense. And now, I don't know.
It's
Sean.
Sean, you have to weigh in.
I don't get this. Tell me what the future is, because you threw this out last week, and you hit me. It was like almost hit me like a ton of bricks because Sean was talking about that this Bears team better get it together. Mm-hmm. And I'm just through the live stream right now.
Yeah.
Just through the live stream, I see so many different people talking about Theo Epstein. Can you get him to come run? I know people are probably serious. I look at it as in a joking manner, but
that would be pretty amazing, though.
He needs two
teams in the same
town. Yeah, two teams. Listen, you know what? Maybe Theo comes to consult for a little bit. How about that?
Better than Ernie Accorsi?
Yeah, Ernie Accorsi. Okay.
He lost John Elway, so that's a big red.
Yeah, I don't know about Accorsi. I don't know how that happens. But Sean, you got to break it down some way. I don't know what the future is.
Objectively,
yes.
Stepping back, I don't know if everybody knows, but I'm not a Chicago Bears fan. I'm a Chicagoan, but I'm not a Chicago Bears fan. I blame it on church because I got to watch the 3 o'clock game every week, and the 3 o'clock game was either the 49ers or the Cowboys, plain and simple. So I objectively step back, and I can say that sitting here as a Cowboys fan and happy with what has taken place. 4 years ago, I wasn't in that place. It was the same frustration. And you're trying to rebuild. And I guess it took Stephen Jones to come in and tell his father, look, we're not taking Johnny Manziel. We're not going for these quick fixes. We're not going for these guys that you think are going to bring people into the turnstiles. That's not what it's about. Let's build a winner and let's get back to what worked for us. Well, what worked for us? We dominated the 90s with a dominant offensive line.
Oh, yeah.
That's how we dominated. And it allowed our young players that we drafted, like Aikman, Emmitt Smith, and Michael Irvin, to get better and be good and serviceable. Be good. Not great. They eventually became great, but it allowed them to be good behind a dominant offensive line. So let's use the same formula today. Why? Because that formula works no matter what era you're in. It works. Stop trying to redefine football. Football at its core. Andy, talk about it.
Yeah.
You get a good quarterback and you get good offensive, defensive line play, you're going to win. You're going to win.
There we go. Just trying to get reconnected in here sometimes, man. It just, you know, I don't know what's going on. Trying to reconnect.
So with that being said, the question I posed to you guys before we came on was, what's going to work for this team? What is the future?
Yeah.
What can you lean on to be that dominant unit?
And what I told you in the hallway before we came in was I thought that you get a good quarterback because you know that Jay Cutler's not going to be around. I mean, we've known that for 2 or 3 years, it seems like, and there has been nothing done about it. I mean, you can't tell me that Jimmy Clausen could have ever been an answer to any question that the Bears had. You can't tell me that Caleb Haney was ever an answer to any questions. You can't even tell me that Brian Hoyer was an answer to any question that the Bears ever had.
Yeah.
They passed on Dak Prescott three times in the fourth round. They're not alone. I mean, other teams did it too.
And let's be honest. Dak Prescott behind this offensive line is totally different.
Oh, but completely different.
Than Dak Prescott he's running for his life. The Dallas line.
Oh, he's running for his life.
Absolutely.
So, you know, the thing, too, I mean, you have to understand about the NFL. You have to have management in place that's willing to take some lumps for an extended period of time.
There you go. There you go.
Because
right there.
There's not,
there you go, Andy.
The NFL is such a win-now league that it goes in two-year bursts. And if you don't win in 2 years, your coach is gone, your GM is gone, and you're starting all over again.
Yeah. Okay, but this is it. Dallas is showing the model of how teams need to do it because not everybody has – all right, let's go back real quick. The game of football, really, we've seen it evolve over the last few years, right, in the way that these teams are running their offenses. Mm-hmm. I should say offensively, we've seen that. It's more spread it out, and we saw it here for a long time. We saw what happened, you know, what Tressman got here, what he tried to do, with not having probably the type of players for his system, and then trying to run it, and it just didn't work out. A lot of short passes trying to get up the field, kind of similar to how I saw when I went to the Super Bowl at MetLife when I saw the Broncos versus the Seahawks. Never once in my entire life have I ever seen a defense hit that hard. Plays that year that the Broncos did of throwing those short passes and taking them 60 yards, 50 yards was not a go with what that Seattle defense was all about. Now we're starting to see how defenses are playing, and now offenses are changing and evolving, but it goes down to see the team that's playing the best in the NFL right now, the team that nobody wants to see, the team that everybody is looking down, that everybody's looking up at, they're looking down on, is the Cowboys. And they're doing it in a way that's old-fashioned football. You run the football. We've been seeing running backs over the years be devalued. And what's the value? Sean and I have had this conversation over the last 3 years about when are we going to see. And we both of us watch college football, so we know when we started to see guys like Zeke come into Ohio State, we were both like, this is a different type of running back.
Yeah.
This is not your average. We saw Leonard Fournette. We're looking at him. He's a different type of guy where we look at organizations saying we could actually take this guy. We can run him. We could do what we need to do. But the versatility of these running backs now, guys that being able, Zeke is a totally different guy. Sean and I, from the Virginia Tech game that we saw him play beginning of, what, two almost?
That was beginning of last year.
Last year.
Last season, yeah.
About how much he can do. It's changed the way now that I think teams are going to be looking at running the football. Let's not spread it all the way out. Dude, let's run it down people's throats. And if you can do that and have and also have complementary receivers and a guy, because let's not forget about Dez Bryant. This is exactly what Sean was talking about. The recipe that got them championships, what made them dominant in the 90s, is making them relevant again in 2016.
I mean, you don't get a Buckus Sayers draft. That's generational. That doesn't happen. You have to build. You have to get this guy this year. Then we'll get the other guy next year. And maybe you pop up in the third or fourth round and you get a guy like, oh, he became a star. I didn't know. We thought we were getting a solid starter, but now he's elite. You have to be willing to build. And that's the question for me and Ryan Pace. We have given Ryan Pace a long rope. And now the question is, what unit, what are you building?
Yeah, and you know the thing that kind of bothers me about the Ryan Pace situation right now is his choice for coach, because I don't know necessarily if John Fox is the right guy for a young up and coming football team. I don't think he's got the patience for it. I don't think he really. And again, I'm not there. I'm not an insider as far as you know knowing what's going on in the guy's mind. But it just seems to me like there's this laissez-faire kind of, okay, I'm getting paid, you know, I got a couple more years left of my contract.
I'm with you, man.
Let's see what we can do here. You need a young guy to come in here to relate with these guys. And much of the same thing, and I hate to keep relating things to baseball, but that's the sport I know the best.
It's okay.
But, you know, there was a guy named Rick Renteria who was managing the Cubs. Did a fantastic job in his 1 year because he developed some young guys and kind of paved the way for Joe Maddon. But Joe Maddon
the Cubs aren't World Series champions
without him.
Without him.
Absolutely.
I mean, you could lay the foundation and be there, but it takes a special coach.
Yeah.
And just to speak on your point, though, Handy, I don't believe that the decision for John Fox was all Ryan Pace.
No, I agree with you.
I believe that was a decision that was made higher than him.
Right.
And that's why I think that.
So you're saying we need to keep accountants out of the decision-making process?
I'm just saying that it wasn't his choice.
It was a fashionable choice because it was a name. It was a guy that had some success in a couple of different spots, and it looked good. It was cosmetically good.
And for this Bears organization at the time when they made the decision, it was hard not to be a fan and go, wow, this actually might be the best decision.
Right.
But as you start to really, like, you start to really think about things, man, it's you might need to go a different direction because exactly what you were talking about, Andy, this is a team that is going to be – needs to be built up from the ground. If you're going to do that – to me, that means you need somebody that's going to be able to adjust to what's going on. I believe, like any old person that I know, and no disrespect to the old people, man. I love old people out there. But the one thing is they get stuck in their ways. And they are not willing to change. John Fox has done stuff away for a long time in his way. And I think that's a big issue because guys now – are they love playing for him. I don't think that there's a rift in the locker room like there was with Trestman here.
No.
But it might take someone different and special to be able to kind of bring this thing back around.
My only hope, you know, Ryan Pace is a young guy. I don't disagree with some of the things he's done. I mean, I think he's kind of added by subtraction in some cases, which has been, you know, good. I mean, the Robbie Gould move after watching yesterday's game, how can you argue it? I mean, he was a fan favorite, but the guy's done. I mean, he's not kicking.
That's the
anymore.
Problem. Sean has always told me, Andy, that's the problem here in Chicago.
We get hooked on guys.
We get hooked on players, and no disrespect, it is what it is.
Yeah.
We get hooked on players.
I mean,
we want them to be around forever.
Look at David Ross. I mean, that's just a quick example. I mean, obviously that ended in a fairy tale situation. Right. But the point I wanted to make was I'm kind of hoping that high up at Hallis Hall, and I'm talking about the McCaskey family, I'm talking about George more in particular now since he's, you know, running the show, that there's an actual plan with Ryan Pace not having to worry about his job. Okay, John Fox can worry about his job. I'm good with that. But I'm not so sure that I would be – and I'm not sure Ryan Pace would have taken a job thinking that he would be under pressure immediately because it's such a – like we said, it's such an immediate kind of a league. But at the same time, as Sean eloquently pointed out, you have to have some time to put your plan – into place. There's going to be bumps along the road. There are going to be a lot of bumps. If there aren't bumps, it's not as satisfying when you turn it around and you win.
Whoa. Just think about this. Let's go back to Dallas for a second. Sean, you were pointing out, talking about Dallas in that situation. Think about Jerry Jones wants to call the show. Think about trying to – not only he wants to call the show, he's also signing the checks.
Right.
So, I mean, that is like he's a part of football operations. Think about how hard that has been. And you probably, as a fan, know how tough that's been over the years of like, dude, just give up control, man. Like, you don't understand it. It took somebody close to the vest to say, listen, we're not going to make these bad decisions.
Yeah.
Because I'm going to be honest. I was wrong. I pulled for Johnny Manziel forever. I wanted him to be successful, and I thought that the Cowboys would be a great fit. I was like, oh, this is it. If I was in that meeting room, in that war room, I would have been like, let's go with Manziel. There was somebody smart enough to say, let's not do the sexy picks. Let's not do it. And you had people. I heard other Cowboy fans, not you because you understand the game, but other people who don't break it down that way going, another offensive lineman, what are you –
And think about this.
That ain't going.
They didn't take Johnny Manziel. They take Zach Martin, right?
Yeah.
And everybody's like, "Who the heck is Zach Martin?" Of course, I'm a Notre Dame fan.
So
I know this kid, right? In 3 years, from 2012, 2013, 2014, Notre Dame won 32 games. Guess why? That left side was Zach Martin and Ronnie Stanley.
Beast. That's all you need to know.
There you go.
That's it.
I mean, look back as far as the 83 draft of the Bears with what Jim Finks was able to pull off, you know, with Jimbo Covert and Mark Bortz. I mean, are the 85 Bears, is your father, you know, running as successfully as he was behind, you know, Joe Smith?
I mean,
probably not. I mean, Jimbo Covert's
a
Hall of Fame
guy. He put
in
work behind some pretty subpar offensive
line. I know, I'm saying he put some work in.
Yeah, he did.
But there's a video of my dad in the locker room just going, I don't know how much more I could take
of
this.
I mean, Dan Neal, Dennis Lick, those guys weren't doing a lick.
My dad always told me, he said, Dad, how did you do it for so long? He said, you know, early on it was tough. He said, I would just tell offensive linemen just – you don't need to block somebody. Just run.
Tell them a story.
I'll move around you. You just go after somebody, and if you don't hit them, I'll figure out to move away. And it's crazy because now the game of football and how it's changed, the Dallas Cowboys are showing me that we need to figure it out. And Sean brought this up last week, and to me, it's been the point that's been on my mind all week long. When I talked about trying to figure out an identity for this Bears team, Sean said, "You got to choose. You have to choose. It's what
you can't
do
both sides.
You can't
do
both sides of the ball. You just can't do it in the draft. You'd have to be unbelievable to figure out a way to do it. You need to choose.
Yeah.
And so right now, to me, I look at it. It might go back to the tradition of how the Bears won their last Super Bowl. You might need to go defense and figure out this defense because that to me has the most pieces around it right now." And bulk up that defense and go get a guy like Sean and I have been talking about, Jabril Peppers, if he's there.
Yeah, I agree.
And a guy that's a guy from Michigan that I've seen play almost every single position. But in this day and age of football, he changes the way when you pluck him and put him on defense. It's a guy that can play anywhere. I don't probably not on the outsides. He's not going to be a cover corner. But you place him anywhere, inside, down in the box, at safety, free safety, whatever you want to do. Let him roam. That is a dude that comes in on your defense and makes your defense better as soon as he steps into Hallis Hall.
And right now they're probably, what, pick 3, 4?
Yeah.
They're in the top five. Yeah, they're in the top five.
Peppers might sneak into the top five.
I think he could.
He might sneak into the top five.
But if there's someone else.
You could have the opportunity to actually trade back and get him. Look, I'm going to go off the board.
Where are you going?
Because you got the defense. The defense is – they played very well yesterday.
They didn't play bad.
I thought Deion Bush in his first start played
solid.
Yeah,
he was good.
Absolutely. I loved him blitzing as well.
But listen, you know the deal with him. The deal with Deion Bush, and I love seeing him in the lineup. You got guys that just aren't Jones, Corte, Porzinski, right?
Yeah, you saw the Shepherd touchdown. Deion Bush goes to take his man, and Hurst just releases Shepherd up the seam, and Bush is turning around like, what are you doing?
What's going on? Like it, and that's what you're going to get with young defensive back. This core is going to – you're going to have these bumps and bruises. So Bears fans have to sit and relax a little bit on that back end of that defense.
Yeah.
But we really have never – we never got a chance so far this year to watch the front seven flourish like it probably should have because of injuries. We got derailed a little bit. Eddie Goldman has had those bumps and bruises. I think he is going to be a true stud. He needs to be able to stay healthy. You look at guys, Pernell McPhee, what's going to be the ceiling for him long term? Because he is a difference maker when he's healthy. And how healthy is he, though, right now? I mean, he got after yesterday. He was trying to get those comments he made in the locker room on Wednesday. I was there. He was trying to get his guys fired up, man. And, you know, it happens sometimes. They don't have – right now, you're walking into a locker room with two wins.
Yeah.
I have never seen been in a locker room with that many losses or being kicked around in the positive vibe still coming out of there. I'm like, yo.
Look.
John Fox has these dudes thinking something else.
I'm going to go off the board.
Go ahead.
I'm not sure. We'll have to double check. I believe Joe Thomas might be a free agent.
Yeah. He might be on his way out of
Cleveland.
Out of Cleveland.
Look, for me, the unit that's close
is the offensive line.
You're probably two pieces away.
Yeah, you're on the edges.
From having an offensive line that can dominate, okay?
On the edges, you got to get
I've been happy with Cody.
No, Cody Whitehair, Cody, I think, is good.
His versatility, the
it's
way
been
he's
all right
played.
With me, yeah.
Hard playing as a rookie to play center.
You're asking a rookie to play center.
And he's handled himself quite well. He's always graded out the top offensive lineman on Pro Football Focus.
He's doing
each and every game with Kyle Long in the lineup.
Yeah.
Let's get Long healthy. We know what we have if he's healthy. If he's healthy at right guard, good. If you go get me two stud tackles, you draft one, and you get Joe Thomas on the left side, that other guard position, you can – Grassu comes back, you can kick Whitehair out. You can be dominant with that. Look, their offensive line can be a whole lot better.
I'm just saying.
I'm not talking – maybe not Dallas Cowboys level, because, I mean, they still have Lyle Collins on the bench waiting.
No, I'm not saying that. I'm just saying
that's
I don't know if – I don't know if Whitehair is –
And the reason I say
he moves.
That – the reason I say that is because –
That was his natural
spot.
But you don't have to worry about getting a Zeke. Like, if you give a good offensive line to Jordan Howard
– he'd be all right.
You're going to be okay.
But we're starting to see right now
– then it doesn't force you to go out and have to get a true difference maker at quarterback because he's behind a solid offensive line. If you can get somebody that's efficient –
Hey, Kyle Orton had good luck with this offense.
But like this is the thing though, Bears fans, and I keep seeing it on the live feed right now, is they're talking about quarterback, and I just don't know if that guy that Bears fans are looking for is in this draft.
You know what they're doing? They're looking at Dak Prescott and they're saying passed on Dak Prescott. With this Bears team
It's not the same.
It's not the same.
It's not the same, man. You gotta have. They started to build the infrastructure. They got the offensive line. They knew what they got.
Bears fans, take it from me.
You don't want any part of
Deshone Kizer.
Everybody talks about Kizer like they want Kizer. I don't know if you guys have not watched big-time games.
Cleveland can have him.
Let Cleveland have him.
Quarterback wasteland.
Let Cleveland have Kizer. No, I don't want any part of it. None. Yeah. And I'm not hating on Notre Dame. It's not my guy, man. And I just don't know where this team goes. I would rather you try to figure out of getting somebody that was going to come in and be effective right away with the first round pick, especially if you're going to be this bad, and figure that out, and then get a quarterback down the line and trust your scouting. Because that's what – listen.
Well, heck, half your scouting is going to be bingo. Alabama.
Listen, I know.
Because they have like 13 players in the top 30 prospects for the draft, which is – absolutely amazing.
You have to trust. Listen, let's go outside the box. All right, let's go outside of football, Mazur. Since you love baseball, let's talk about hockey as well.
Yeah.
The two teams in this town that have won championships in recent memory. And I'm not ragging on the White Sox or the Bulls or anything. I'm talking about how the Cubs did it and how the Blackhawks have done it, sustained the success over a long period of time. They built a core. They have a core, and everybody talks about it. This core is still here. Guess what? We talked about it last night, Sean. One of the members of the core is 37 years old. He's playing like he's 20.
Yeah.
Marian Hossa.
Man.
Right?
Yeah.
You still got that core, so you can build around. And the Blackhawks have had to do it with that hard cap, and they find ways to be able to do it. And then in baseball.
Yeah, I mean, you lose, and it's easier to do this in baseball. There's less margin for error as far as the picks are concerned, because they're not expected to be in the opening day lineup that year. They're not expected to be there right away. They're 1 or 2 years, but they did hit. I mean, they hit on a ton of them.
But there's no surprise.
They hit.
Yeah,
there's no surprise why the Cubs are there.
Yeah, they're all
there. There's no surprise why the Cleveland Indians are there and will continue to be there.
Yes.
There's no surprise why Miami can always come back
and
trade off big pieces because they draft well.
Yeah.
Well, and here's the thing, too. There's so many – I wish I had a pen and paper to write all these things down as you guys were talking about them that were just kind of popping into my mind. I mean, the first thing I was going to think about was Kyle Long. You were talking about him. And I don't mean this to sound bad, but this injury may have been the best thing that ever happened to this team because he's going to get his ankle fixed and his labrum fixed all at the same time. And he's
going
to be healthy to start next season, which is a really good thing.
Instead of having to fight through injuries.
Absolutely.
And it was that's a setback
in
the long run.
Right.
I mean, he could play, but the amount of pain that he was tolerating, it was
ridiculous.
I don't even want to know that pain.
Okay, and the other thing you guys were talking about were trust your scouts. And I like what Ryan Pace did, kind of changing the thinking and the way that it was so antiquated at Hallis Hall about, you got a general manager and you maybe have one scout over there and you got one scout this way, and it's the son of another guy that's is watching a high school game somewhere in the blue-gray game, and it was terrible. So now, correct me if I'm wrong, obviously not every first-round pick is going to hit. Okay, in the NFL, it's a real hit or miss kind of thing. I mean, the guy can either play. Maybe he was a product of a system in a college that doesn't adapt well to the team that he's coming to, for whatever reason. I have always been a fan of watching the fourth, the fifth, the sixth, and the seventh rounds, because that was one thing that Jerry Angelo could find. He found some talent later in the draft. Rather than going for that big, sexy pick at the beginning of the draft, that's when you get your stud. That's when you get your stud that you know can – if you had to go to –
they
you had to
get
play,
no studs.
I'm just saying, but if you had to play a game tomorrow
– Lance Briggs was – Lance was third?
Lance wasn't first.
No.
Third-round pick, right?
Well,
I think so.
I'm just kind of using this as a comparison right now.
I'm with you.
Peanut
Mazur.
Was a what?
He was late.
Shout out to him
he
on
was a
his
fifth.
Celebration.
I think he was a fifth round.
This is the problem, though. This is what seems to be the problem here, is that anybody that comes in that takes the job as GM has done a great job at those later round picks. Those first round picks haven't hit.
No, they haven't.
And the reason why, because I feel like you're taking flyers. You're taking flyers on a guy like Shay McClellan.
Yeah. Oh, and you know,
you're taking a flyer on Shay McClellan. Sean and I sat at Illinois Center for Broadcasting on State Street, and we talked to a guy from Boise State who covers the team. This was before, and we said, what is the deal with this dude? They said, you looked at his bench numbers? Yeah, he's not a guy that can get off. He's going to get swallowed up and eaten up, especially on the line, especially if he's coming off, you know, from the edges.
Yeah.
What?
Well, they drafted projects in the first round, which was ridiculous. I
the
mean,
only project is Kyle Long so far, because yeah, he was still a guy that wasn't a real proven, and people were like,
and then
what?
They kept moving him around.
But now look at him.
You know?
Kyle Long is the face of the Bears franchise right now.
And it's
that's your right guard.
It's the truth. And, you know, you look at that. And I know fans are yelling, quarterback, quarterback, quarterback. Okay, any quarterback that you draft in the first round next year is probably one you don't want, first of all. Second of all, is going to get killed because the offensive line is not together yet. You wait for another draft. But what I'm saying is you needed to have somebody behind Cutler, though. You needed to have somebody that can at least keep you somewhat competitive.
That's going to be Brian Hoyer.
I know Hoyer was putting up all these numbers, but the guy could not sniff the end zone.
I know.
If his life depended on it.
But people don't understand. You have to be – look, there's a sacrifice.
What's the sacrifice?
Right. There was a sacrifice to the Dallas Cowboys looking down on everybody right now. Yeah. It's the same thing in baseball.
Yeah.
Right? The last two World Series championships, the Chicago Cubs and Kansas City Royals, went through a long period of losing.
And they had to. And
they had to.
And they, you know, they had –
to get to the mountaintop.
And they had to convince a fan base. But see, this is the difference, in my opinion, between what Jed Hoyer and Theo Epstein did with the Cubs and what Ryan Pace and George McCaskey and the rest of these guys are trying to do with the Bears. You have to outline a plan. You have to have a plan clear, concise, and solid in your mind of what you guys are talking about. Where do you go first? What are you going to try to shore up first? I mean, it's like in baseball. The old adage is pitching and defense win you games.
Absolutely.
Okay? So you consider maybe the pitcher as the offensive line or a quarterback, you know, even a core.
It's almost like the quarterback, though, because it's what you're investing in a starter is what you want.
Okay,
out
so
of your,
let's go. Yeah. Let's go money for money. Yeah,
so
let's go money for money.
I'm looking like, you know, in my head, I'm thinking John Lester, Jay Cutler.
And it's okay. a good.
The
only reason I say no is because Jay Cutler, any quarterback touches the ball every offensive play. John Lester goes to the mound once every four or five.
I know. I get right? that. But, so Eddie, but when he's in the game,
he's
though,
in the game.
Yeah.
So you're saying the pitching position.
Yeah, I'm talking about the position.
Because he controls the game.
Right.
Yeah. You're only as good as your next day starting pitcher.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Exactly. And then, you know, you talk about defense. I mean, unfortunately for the Cubs this year, they spent $184 million on defense and one guy that couldn't hit. But, you know, defense is not underrated. All those teams that were successful for the Bears in the past, they've stuck to the same simple formula.
Absolutely.
Run the damn ball. And defend the damn ball. But have a plan.
But that's the identity, though. That's not only what the identity of this team, it's what the identity of this franchise has been. For the teams that have been successful in the era of the Super Bowl.
Absolutely.
The two times that this Bears organization has gone to the Super Bowl, they've had a defense that can get it done, that can create takeaways and turn those into points, or a defense that was just unbelievable, the best to ever play the game.
Yeah. They make their offense look good.
06, it was almost the same thing in the sense of, okay, offensively.
Rex Grossman,
and try to figure out.
Cutler's a better quarterback than Rex Grossman.
Run the football. I believe the Bears have another Super Bowl championship if they stick to the formula and run Thomas Jones.
Yeah.
Run the football.
And you have to build, like you were saying, the Dallas Cowboy model. And, you know, it pains me as a Bears fan to give any credit to the Cowboys and Jerry Jones for firing Tom Landry. But, you know, but that's the kind of thing we're talking about. You know, when you get latched on to a certain way, it may not be the right way.
Yeah.
I mean, that's an older way of thinking. And then Jerry Jones bought the team. As long as he's writing the checks, he can hire and fire whoever the heck he wants.
And never fool yourself into changing your identity unless your talent dictates it. Your talent has to dictate a change of philosophy.
He's
not
right.
Not the times
Sean
of just watching
right.
everybody else and what wow. they're doing. No. Does your talent dictate? Cool. Belichick won with defense. against the greatest show on turf.
Yes, he did.
His defense won that Super Bowl.
Yep.
It was
right?
Lucky.
Then all of a sudden, his quarterback becomes a quarterback that can throw the ball 50 times a game and score 30, 40 points, and his defense could be mediocre.
Right.
So but his talent dictated that.
Yeah, so that's why New Orleans can get away with a great quarterback. They surrounded him with great offensive weapons.
Right.
They have a good defense, and your defense is never put in a pressure situation because your offense is always 20 points ahead of the other team.
The problem was when they got this organization, when they got Jay Cutler.
They had the defense.
They looked at him and said,
missing piece.
We can transition because his talent says we. Then you really totally looked at his talent the wrong way. You perceived his talent the wrong way. He's not a 50 times drop back and lead our team and score 30 points. He's not that quarterback.
Okay, but that's the problem.
But
that
that's what they saw when they got him. Oh, we can turn him into this type of quarterback. No,
so
you are a defensive team. Draft to that, stay with that, and force him to hand the ball off.
It's trench warfare with the Bears. It should be trench warfare.
But I got an issue, though. This is where I have an issue when I look at his organization. And, Sean, you keep talking about going back and don't let – your talent, with the talent that you have, you need to figure that out, right? And how those guys could be successful. Are they not going back and watching what made Cutler successful from the year before? Because last year he did it with less. He had less last year.
It was
year,
Adam Gase.
And he was more effective. Okay, I get that Gase was here.
Yeah.
But if you're going to leave, you don't want to go out of – the family, let's say, to get another offensive coordinator. You want to keep it in the family.
Yeah, but you got a friend. You got somebody that's too close to the situation to be able to tell him, look, this is what we need from you. Adam Gase told him, look, this is who you are. These are your strengths. We're going to work with those strengths. I'm not about to let you get late in the clock and then have to read a defense and pick up
and
late.
Gunsling.
You can't do it.
Yeah.
That's not what you do.
That's not what you do. Here's the play. This is where we want you to go. And if you have to audible,
we're in trouble.
We're in trouble.
And, JP, we've talked about – you and I talked about this. We talked about this last night. I think we talked about it the last time I filled in on Sports Feed, was the fact that you can't make excuses for abandoning what's working because either you're behind or you're ahead. I mean, okay, Jordan Howard proved one thing yesterday, that he needs work on catching the ball out of the backfield. I think for the first time, and I think we talked about this yesterday too, for the first time it looked like he was a little sped up as a rookie. And he's a fifth-round pick. I mean, hey, what you're getting from him on the ground is gravy. I think it's awesome. I love the way he runs. I told you, he reminds me of your dad. Yeah. I saw the four getting out of that pile, and I saw how hard he was running. And I'm thinking, man, this kid is going to be – he's a classic Chicago Bears running back. He hits you before you hit him. Yeah. I love that. But when you're up 16-9 – going into the second half of a football game, and you stop running because they put 8 in the box.
Yeah.
Whose fault is that?
Yeah. I think it was Moon
whose
Mullen
fault
that
is that?
Tweeted out late in the third quarter, the Giants are forcing Jay Cutler to beat them, and
truth.
He can't.
It's the truth. And, you know, it was funny. We were talking to Dan Hampton earlier today.
Yeah.
And, okay, they put 8 in the box, and you don't have a lot of confidence in your quarterback with what he's got around him now because at this point Zach Miller's out.
Yeah.
Alshon Jeffrey's already out. You're working with Josh Bellamy, Marquise Wilson in his first game back off the PUP list. Who else? Cameron Meredith.
Yeah.
These are not household names, but I mean,
I still don't.
Josh Bellamy needs to jump on that fumble too.
Yeah.
But you know the little you can little simulate things. A running game through a short passing game, and then you have then the Giants have to get out of the 8-man box because they're going to get burned in the flat.
Can Bears fans just be? Your team is competing.
Well, they are competing, and I'll give them that.
I'll give them that. Much better than they did last year.
Yeah.
And I feel guilty sometimes ripping on them, you know.
It wasn't like it was a – I think that's what
– It wasn't a Tampa game.
That's what was so tough.
That game was there for the taking.
Yeah.
Because the Tampa game, I had circled saying that they should win that one.
They should have won that game.
And this one against the Giants, I had circled that they were going to lose this one.
Now, the amazing thing to me, you talked about something.
Mm-hmm.
We've seen the Bears. I'll go back to this game. Because it was very reminiscent of the first game of the season against the Texans, where the Bears jumped out early as well, were very successful offensively. So I have a problem from a coaching standpoint with how they react to what they put forward being stopped.
Yeah.
Right? So now what's your adjustment? So now your adjustment to them honing in on the running game and what you have going early is to just totally abandon it and go pass happy. No, you find a different way. If you've been running traps early in the game that's successful and they stop the trap, now it's time to go with the outside zone.
Yeah, but that's
– now it's time to do something
but
else
that's
different.
The problem.
Or stop running on first down and go play action on first down and come back. Do something.
This
but
is
don't
the problem.
Just totally leave
but this,
and abandon the running
I wrote
game.
This in my presser about offensive adjustments in the second half that's been – a glaring issue of this organization and this team. They you have to be able to make adjustments. Yeah, if things aren't working, if they put eight men in the box, you still got to figure out a way because that is what you do, and you have to be able to overcome it. I've seen it happen. It's happened before. I've watched games where they've had eight men in the box, nine men in the box, and they're still running the ball. Even if you're not getting the 10 yards or whatever, if you're cracking off three,
the clock's moving.
Four, the clock's moving.
They're getting hit.
Yes, three, four. You stay there. If outside zone, like Sean was saying, is not working, then you run inside. Inside's not working, then you go to the screen game.
Yeah.
If the screen game's not going, you got to figure out a way to be able to – it's like playing chess.
Yeah.
Whatever they take away from you, you have to have something else to combat it with, and that's what Dow Loggins doesn't have, man. He doesn't have that in – what's the dude's name? From the movie Last Dragon with the glow. You know what I'm talking about? Leroy?
Leroy.
Duh, he ain't got the juice.
Yeah.
He doesn't have the juice, man. He can't catch the bullet in his mouth. You know? Show enough. Not happening.
That's all right. You can't tell me that in the locker room at halftime, the Bears coaching staff didn't suspect that the Giants were going to come out with eight men in the box because of how they were running the football.
You know that.
That has to come up. That has to come up.
You know that.
Why would you stop? For all the reasons we've already outlined, and I'm just getting so frustrated as I'm saying this.
Yeah.
I mean, the veins in my head are popping out. And I don't get so emotional to the point where, you know, I mean, baseball is a long season. This is 16 games that's smushed into – it's a very short period of time.
Some Thursday
and
night
every
game.
Game is so freaking important. That you, whether it be to deal a blow to the Giants, who I don't think are that good of a football team, to be honest with you, even at home. They were challenged by the Bears at half capacity, as far as I'm concerned, you know, with all the injuries and with all the players that weren't there. Okay, fine. You got to concentrate on who's there. You can't worry about who's not.
Yeah.
But these are simple things that high school and college coaches are thinking about all the time.
Got some interesting comments here on the live feed. Ryan Emery, shout out to you for joining us. Quarterback is only as good as his offensive line. It depends on the quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
Depends on the quarterback.
Play calling is definitely questionable.
It is.
With Dow Loggins.
Big time.
Yeah. That whole this Tim Tebow for quarterback thing, please.
No, we can't talk about that.
No.
Don't say that again.
A lot of people on the stream have been talking about, like, Mike Singletary's name keeps popping up as –
See, once again,
coach.
Is that something that we're holding on to?
Yeah, I just don't. I don't know
or
if I would
it be a good move if we're just bringing him in to be a linebackers coach. Like, I don't have a problem with that.
You know what problem I have with that?
Honestly, with Mike and knowing Mike the way that I know him, the way that he's working right now to get another head coach.
He's kind of stealth right now with LA, isn't he?
Yeah, he's kind of stealth, but the way he's working to understand how. You know, offense and defenses work. He's putting in work. I'm not saying that he's not. I mean, it's all about the situation. It's almost like we were talking about with Charlie Strong. Like, he's a good guy and a good coach. It just didn't work in Texas.
Right.
It just didn't work.
Fit.
It just wasn't fit. It wasn't the fit. Could that fit be here? I don't know if it's here, but I do believe that he deserves another chance to be a head coach because he's a guy that I know that I would want to play for. And talking to guys like Vernon Davis, who had his run-in with him, dude, the respect that they have for that man.
Even though they had the run-in.
He stepped away with respect because he's a guy that commands respect. And I don't know – this organization is so different. We're talking about established in 1920, man.
Yeah. And there is no
it's
one
– not.
Look, there is no Stephen Jones on the horizon.
No.
There is no Rocky Wirtz,
no,
even though Rocky came to power due to an untimely death with
passing
his dad and passing with his father. There is no no one in the younger generation, I mean, from what I hear, I might be wrong, the younger generation of the McCaskies seem to be kind of disconnected mm-hmm. from the operational side of
Michael's
the team.
In hiding somewhere.
Yeah, so there is no one that understands where we are.
Yeah.
No, in this generation to say, you know what, we need to get back
weird.
To
Sean,
the identity
okay,
of the Bears.
So it kind of goes to this is a unique situation. And this organization is a unique organization because it's one of the founding fathers of the league.
It's a charter
right?
franchise.
So it's pretty similar. You know how we always talked about over the time that you've known me about the Hurricanes? And you're like, dude, what is it going to take? And what I always tell you, I'm like, it's going to take somebody that's been there before to kind of bring that back to understand what it means.
Yeah.
Because I don't know if anybody coming in really understands. Like, when I look at these coaches that are left, and I don't want to say that it's the Ditka stigmatism because I look at what, you know, Ditka and he's been. But everybody that's came after, other than Lovie.
Yeah.
Other than Lovie,
I
don't know embodies of what this organization is all about. They just don't. They don't look right. Just think about them in your head.
Yeah.
Think about those coaches in your head
Trestman,
right now. I want you to think. Just think about them.
Trestman was a fish out of water.
Dude, he just look.
Wanstead.
I'll say
Wanstead. Don't fit.
Every guy listening can relate to this. The girl you want to wake up to every morning, you want to be able to wake up to her without makeup and still feel like she's beautiful.
Yes.
See, we as fans, we fall in love with the makeup.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, the flavor of the week.
Yeah, the makeup.
Yeah.
See, let me use Nick Saban, Alabama. Right?
Yeah.
Now we see Amari Cooper. We see a Jalen Hurts. We see the flashy players that he gets now. But they all came in on the foundation and the grit and the dirt of no makeup. His first 6 years at Alabama, those fans had to wake up with him and that team and that program with no makeup, no flash. This is who we are. And they fell in love with that. And once they got satisfied with that, saying, this is beautiful. This is beautiful. Waking up to Mark Ingram just running behind this big offensive line and this solid defense. And now, once he got that solidified, now I can start attracting the Amari Coopers. I can go get me some flashy wide receiver. Now I can go get me a quarterback that's not just going to be efficient, but that can be a game breaker.
No makeup.
See, we get caught up in the makeup. We want
to
go out.
Every man wants to wake up next to his girl that looks good with no makeup.
And that's that's the way your team, your program has to be.
Let me kind of add on to that. See if you can follow me on this one. It takes a while to date that girl.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? It takes a while to date that girl. Till you feel comfortable to wake up next to her,
to that point.
First of all.
You have to get to that point.
Second of all, to feel comfortable enough to take your own makeup off.
Yeah.
Not the physical kind, but, you know, this just being able to show your cards, okay? And then she's got to be comfortable enough with you
to see her,
to
like
be able
that.
To let you see her with no makeup on. So what I'm saying in a roundabout sort of way here, need time.
I'm going to end this.
You need time.
Yep.
And there's just not a lot of time to be had in the NFL because fans want and organizations want to win tomorrow.
So you just said the F word, fans, right?
Yes.
You talk about the team waking up, no makeup. Waking up with no makeup, that whole entire. And then you talked about you breaking it down and saying, you know, having to have that trust there.
And it's a two-way trust.
With you two,
yeah,
right?
It's a two-way trust.
With you two.
And you kind of look at that as a coach and an organization where they have to be in love, okay? Mm-hmm. There's got to be some kind of attraction to begin with.
So yeah. those two need to figure themselves out first.
It's got to be a fit.
Yeah. It's got to be a coach,
yeah.
And it's got to be
it's
a team.
It's got to be a fit.
In an organization.
Did we just solve the Bears' problems
right?
here?
And then,
I don't know. Hopefully.
But the only thing is, and you know what happens after you find that person and you feel comfortable with them, that's when you have the ability to bring them, to show them to your family
mm-hmm.
and friends. And that's what the fans are right now. The fans are waiting for that.
Right.
We're waiting to see who that person could be because it doesn't seem like it's that fit right now.
Right.
But the fans are waiting for – they're waiting to meet whoever this is because, you know, when you get excited after you meet the one, Sean, you know that. That when the one, baby, it's like we got rings on our fingers.
Yeah, no, see, so I'm still the fan. I'm still waiting for that feeling. You know what I'm saying?
Just over here trying
I'm the single guy here.
Do what you do, Andy Mazur.
I'm doing what I do.
I love you, man.
I philosophize.
That's why. We live vicariously through you, sir. Hey.
And me through you guys.
I think we did, man. I know people are actually just falling off now of the stream, but definitely I think we did. We solved something today, and we definitely want to keep this conversation going. Follow me on Twitter at Peyton Sun, PaytonSun, SD2Mics on Twitter for Sean Davis. Mazur, give your handle.
It's Andy _ Mazur. It's Masur and the number one.
I have to leave out of studio and go find Ernie.
Yeah, we will.
He lost the Bears-Cowboys bet once again.
Well, that's always the only how it goes. So listen, as always, we love having you guys tune in to the podcast. Go to DAD Pod on Twitter if you want to get any of the old podcasts as well. We'll be back next week. As always, we were here, but now we're gone. Peace.